Yes, Lord, we just return to you just as we are. Amen. Thank you. We receive every new one you have for us tonight for your glory and for your praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So that is a little taster of the new wine. I believe you have prayed with your family. And because it's communion tonight, just get your bread ready, get your wine ready, get the biscuits, just get them ready because we are going to commune together. Now, there's something I just want to share with everybody, everyone watching tonight. And actually, this message and what we're about to do tonight is not just for a local assembly. I need to tell us that. I believe strongly this word is for the church. When we say the church, I'm not referring to any local denomination or any local fellowship. I'm talking about the general body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is just everyone who has received the Lord Jesus. Everyone who have received and believed, the Bible says they shall be saved. Receive the Lord Jesus. So I'm talking to everyone who is a believer. I'm talking to the general body. We are all different, but we are part of the same body. We may not look alike. We may be different, but you know what? We are all equal in the eyes of God, because we all occupy different parts of the body. Now, there was a question I was asked. This question came to me just at the tail end of last year, 2019, just before we entered 2020. And it was a question that the church, what is the business of the church? I mean, you hear of McDonald's, fast food, you hear of KFC. KFC sells chicken. You hear of Ford. Ford sells cars, BMW cars, Mercedes-Benz cars. You know, name it. You can think of some organizations and some businesses, and you can link them together. So when you hear the word church, what is the business of the church? And that is one thing I believe strongly, that the owner of the church, the head of the church, you see, the Bible describes the church as Christ being the head and we, the believers, being the body. Now, the Bible clearly tells us that the body is not separated from one another. The body is not fragmented from one another. The body is neatly, the Bible says, neatly joined together. And every part of the body, every joint, every single part of the body is supplying. In other words, performing a certain specific function. And each of the parts of the body performing their function makes the body grow, builds up the body, edifies the body, you know, in love. What is the business of the church? The church is the body of Christ. Christ the head, and we, you, my brothers, my sister. No matter how you look, we may not look the same. But the Bible says we are members of one body in particular. And that is the body that I believe God is addressing today. Now, we will look at something today. If you want to give this a title, right? The temple of God in the Old Testament was a physical temple. It was made of bricks, mortar. They put it together and people went into that physical structure to worship God. There was the ark inside that. There was everything, all the objects of worship. And people entered the temple for one purpose, to worship. Now, that temple was not put together for every other thing as time went on, that everybody started doing in that temple, the temple of God. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is a story. Because one day, Jesus came into that temple in Jerusalem. So tonight, we will title this, because Jesus said, when we take communion, like we're about to do tonight, you know, get the fruit juice, Ribena, cranberry juice, anything that just resembles blood, and get bread, flat bread, or, you know, if you can get a cracker biscuit or something. Just, they are just emblems. They are just symbols of the wine represents the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the bread represents his body that is broken. Right. So what Jesus did, Jesus said, anytime we do this, we should do it in remembrance of him. We will see this in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. We will see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, when Paul was reminding the church, the body of Christ at Corinth, about what we're about to do tonight. He said, the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was crucified, he said, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you take the bread, as often as you drink the wine, the bread my body, the wine my blood, do it in remembrance of me. So anytime we do this, we must remember him. There's so many things recorded about Jesus for us to remember. But tonight, we want to remember that day he came into that temple in Jerusalem. And it goes with our theme of new wine in new wineskins, which is our theme for this entire month. Right? So come with me tonight. Let's first of all read the account in Luke chapter 19. We'll read it quickly. We'll run a commentary. We'll take the wine. We'll drink the wine. But follow me tonight and see what happened. Remember what Jesus did in the temple. That's our title tonight. Remember what Jesus did in the temple. All right? In the Gospels, according to St. Luke chapter 19, let us read from, let us read from verse 28. The Bible tells us in verse 28 of Luke chapter 19, the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, it says that when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples. Here was Jesus. He was going up to Jerusalem. And he got to this place, near Bethphage and Bethany. Okay, so he sent two of his disciples. What did he send them to do? The Bible records, he told them, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. I want us to follow this step by step. Jesus, the first thing we see he does here is to give an instruction as he was about to enter Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is where that temple we're talking about tonight was. Remember what Jesus did in the temple. That's what we're remembering, in remembrance of Jesus, because there's a lesson in everything we remember about Jesus. So this is just one aspect tonight, all right? So the Bible records that the disciples went their way, and just as Jesus said to them, they found a colt. A colt is just a young donkey. That's the baby donkey. And this donkey is a donkey that no one had ever sat upon. So it was a new donkey. It's like you going into a car showroom and going there and ordering for a car that no one has ever driven. So, new cult, brand new cult. Remember, we're looking at new wine in new wineskins. So just follow. So they find the cult, they untie it. As the owners challenged them, they said the same thing. The Lord has need of the cult. And they brought this cult to Jesus. So Jesus comes on a new cult. He comes in a new vehicle, if we want to look at today's terminology. And he enters this Jerusalem in a new vehicle, on a new cult that no one has ever ridden before. You say, where are we going with all this? Just follow. You just follow. You stumbled on this broadcast. It's not an accident. Just follow tonight. All right? And then the Bible said as he was entering into Jerusalem, then the people gathered. People started spreading their clothes on the road. And Jesus was descending, you know, that Mount of Olives. He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. I'm reading verse 37 now. The whole world, multitude, the whole disciples, they began to rejoice. They began to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. No, stop your disciples from all this chant and all this praise that they are, you know, given to you. But Jesus answered them in verse 40, I tell you, if this should keep silent, the stones immediately will cry out. Now, this was a new thing happening. Remember, Jesus is riding a new colt, coming into a new city. And in that, coming into Jerusalem, and something new was happening. But because something new was happening, the religious leaders, the old religious leaders, the people who called the shots of religion in that Jerusalem resisted. They started resisting. You see, this is what happens when something new happens. Because we don't have understanding of the new, we challenge, we resist. You see, rather than challenging something new, why don't we try to find out what is going on? But not these religious people. They said, stop them. And Jesus told them, if you stop these people, you are going to see something, I'm paraphrasing, you are going to even see something new further. Stones are going to cry out. Imagine stones crying out. That's a new thing, wouldn't it? All right? So Jesus came into the city, and the Bible said Jesus did something. He cried. He wept over the city. And he said to the city, because of what he saw, because of the state of the city that he saw, he said, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side, level you and your children within to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus was lamenting over the city. New things are happening, and he's trying to explain what is about to happen or what's going on, just like the world we're in today. Has anyone living now ever lived through a pandemic? It's a new thing for everybody. But you know what? Gradually things are easing down, but not so fast. I said this message is for everyone who is calling upon the name of the Lord. Anyone who is part of the church. The church is not the physical structure like some of us might have heard. The church is not the building. It is the people who are saved that are the church. The people who are Christ's are the church. Christ himself being the head and the rest of us being the body. And that body is different parts. Okay, so Jesus now enters the temple. So he comes into the city He laments over the entire city. The city at this time was, you know, I wouldn't call it a lockdown, but the things that Jesus said will happen. If you look at the picture of what he said, it's like everything will be at a standstill. Everything will be leveled, and that will be serious. And he says, if they are not careful and they don't get it, they are going to miss it completely. Because he said, you did not know the time of your visitation. I'm just paraphrasing so we can get the picture. The next thing was, he now enters the temple of God. And what did he do? The Bible said Jesus didn't enter that temple to pray. Listen, he didn't enter that temple to start doing some religious works. He didn't enter that temple to ask for the priest and ask the priest in that temple to pray. The Bible said Jesus makes a whip, a scourge, and begins to drive out people out of that temple. Who are the people he was driving out? He said he drove those who bought and sold in it. Listen, the lockdown is easing. Listen, body of Christ. Before we run back into that temple, let's remember that there was a shutdown. And that shutdown, literally, we may not see it in this context, physically, what Jesus did here, but everyone was driven out of the temple. Why? I started with a story of a question I was asked late last year. What is the business of the church? Jesus enters this temple we see here, and he drove out people who were doing business. They were busy doing business. But what kind of business were they doing? They definitely were not doing the business of God, because Jesus makes the statement after he drives them out. It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. A den of thieves. This same account, we will see it in the book of Matthew chapter 21. The story is in verses 12. Rather, in fact, from verse 1 to verse 16. All the story, the same account in the gospel according to Matthew. He drove them out because they were doing another business, which wasn't the business the temple was made for. Could it be, listen, that this lockdown that ensured that churches, church buildings were locked and everyone was driven out, could it be the hand of God? Could it be that inside those church buildings, we were doing the buying and the selling of every other thing except the business, what I'll call the kingdom business, the business of God, the business that this temple was actually originally meant for. It says, my house is a house of prayer. It's meant to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. What happened when Jesus entered the temple? He drove everybody out. But he didn't just drive everybody out. Jesus began to do something. He began to rearrange. He began to do something that was, in that context, new. New in the sense that they started doing some things and some practices, old practices, buying, selling doves. They were selling doves. They were exchanging money. The Bible even records that they were using the temple hallway as a business route. You know, they would go through, walk through the temple, do business, and go out. So it was more of like a commercial venture that the house of God was turned into. Like I said, before we go back into those church buildings, can we re-examine what we are doing, what we have been doing? It would be tragedy if we go back into those buildings and start doing what we were driven out of those buildings for. As I'm trying to keep this simple. We need to recognize that everything happening now is new. And Jesus taught, we will see as we continue the series on Sunday, Jesus taught that you don't pour new wine into an old wine skin. You pour new wine into a new wine skin. In other words, if you want new wine, this is the message I'm getting. If we are ready, or rather, if we desire to have new wine, we must be ready to bring a new wine skin. A new wine skin, he said. You see, traditionally, wine skins, once they are made, right, they can be reused. Jesus was specific. Do not bring a reusable wineskin. Bring a new wineskin, because new wine is meant for new wineskin. We'll go in depth in this because we're going to start another series on Sunday on new wine in new wineskins. But tonight, our focus is to remember what Jesus did when he entered that temple that day. You see, let us try to examine why he did what he did. He did what he did clearly from the scripture because they had turned the temple into another business place, selling doves, exchanging money, doing buying and selling in the temple of God. He drove them out. And the Bible records, after he drove them out, do you know what he did? He put things in order. If we see this Luke account, chapter 19, we will see what Jesus began to do after he drove them out. In verse 47, the Bible says, and he was teaching daily in the temple. He was teaching daily in the temple. He first said, this temple, the business there is house of prayer. We can see then further, the business is teaching. What was Jesus teaching? He was teaching the word of God. As we are going back into these buildings, these church buildings, what are we going back in there to do? Is a question we should ask ourselves. God wants to pour out new wine. We must be ready to give him a new vessel. Not the old vessel, not the reusable vessel, not to go back there and try and reinvent the old things we were doing, old practices. It's a call to remembrance of what God intended his temple for. You see, these things are figurative. They are quite figurative because the real temple is our bodies. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, the Bible tells us that our bodies is the temple of God. Our bodies is the temple of God. So, what this can give us is a picture of what has been happening in our physical bodies, in our minds, in our souls. What sort of transactions have been going on? As we remember tonight and take communion together, let us remember to do what Jesus, what God intended his temple for. Now, before we take communion, let's go to Matthew 21 account. What did Jesus do in that temple that day? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, we saw that he began to teach daily in the temple. Now, Matthew 21 captures another part of what Jesus began to do in that temple, verse 12 to 16. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 to 16, do you know what Jesus began to do? The Bible records in verse 12, he drove everybody out of the temple. Everyone who were buying, selling, overturned the tables of money changers and the seat of those who sold doves. They had camped in there. They had seats. There were tables there, money, exchanging, you know, currency. That place was a house of forex. Can you imagine that what was going on? And then the Bible said, just like we saw in the Luke account, he said, it is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then verse 14. Remember, Luke chapter 19 tells us Jesus began to teach daily in the temple. Verse 14, Matthew 21. Do you know what began to happen in the temple? The Bible says, then the blind and the lame, they came in to him in the temple and he healed them. The temple before was turned into a business center. Every other business except God's business. And nothing was happening there except some people were getting rich. Think about it. Those who were buying and those who were selling. Somebody's definitely profiting. Everybody else, but not God. Every other thing was happening in that temple, but what God said should happen in the temple. Now look, you know, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple when he brought a reordering. When Jesus brought something new into that temple. Something that ought to be happening in the temple. He began to teach daily. He told them it's a house of prayer. So in that temple, that tells me there was prayer and there was teaching of the word of God. And guess what happened? The blind, the lame, they came. Listen, the Bible said they came to him. That's to Jesus in the temple. When people come into those church buildings, they should come to Jesus. We should bring them to Jesus, not to ourselves, not to our programs, not to the stuff we were doing before the lockdown. We've all been driven out. It will be a tragedy that we're rushing to go back in to begin to do every other thing except what Jesus said. A house of prayer, a place where the word of God is taught, and people who are blind, who are lame. I tell you something, in a spiritual context, someone who is blind is someone without God. Someone who is blind is someone without the salvation. Someone who is lame is someone who can't walk. The Bible tells us about a story in the book of the Acts of a man who was born lame from his mother's womb. Every day they would bring him to the temple door, but not into the temple. One day Peter was walking. Peter and John were walking. And they told this man, look on us. We don't have money to give you, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They brought this man to Jesus. The man had never entered the temple. He always got to the temple door. The Bible said he stood up, entered that same temple he never. Why? Because he encountered Jesus. The Bible said he was leaping, walking. The man was lame. That's what should be happening. That the blind come, they see the salvation of God. The lame, those who are physically impaired, handicapped physically, financially, emotionally, mentally, should come into the place where we gather. But that's the physical structure. But a higher dimension is that let's allow Jesus back into our own temples, our bodies, so that when we carry Jesus, the world will see Jesus in us, through us. And when we gather back in those buildings, they will come to Jesus. They will come to pray and hear the word of God. And that's what happened daily in the house of God, the temple, the church buildings. Let us remember, BMW sells cars, KFC sells chicken. What is the business of the church? It is souls and souls making disciples and souls of all nations. The last words of Jesus captured at the latter end of the book of Matthew and Mark is that we should go into the world, make disciples. If we cannot physically go, we can go by technology. That's why we always encourage, share this, send this to somebody who's blind spiritually. Send this to somebody who might be physically and spiritually lame, and let them hear Jesus and Jesus alone. So tonight, let's get ready as we pray right now, and then we will take the communion together. Tonight is a day, a night, or a day, whatever time you're watching. The Bible talks about don't harden in your heart, because today and now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. You've heard this simple message and you want to repent. Repent means to have a change of your mind, to turn around from going in the wrong direction to start going in the right direction. The way, the truth, and the life, that is who and what Jesus is the way to the Father God. He says, no man can come to the Father except through me. Do this in remembrance of me. And he says, anytime we take this, we should first of all examine ourselves. Body of Christ, my brothers, my sisters, as we come to the table tonight, let us remember what Jesus did in the temple. He's about to do the same right now. He wants to give us new wine, but he requires we bring him a new vessel. Can we pray? As we get the bread out, just do that with your families and get a cup filled with, either Ribena, black currant, or cranberry juice, just something resembling blood. Because when Jesus did this himself, what he used, the Bible said, the fruit of the vine and bread. So that's what we're doing. And he said, the bread represents his body, the wine represents his blood. So let's do that quickly and we will pray together. I go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. But let's just pray tonight. Want us to pray. Let us determine. We will receive new wine, but we are going to present a new wineskin. We're bringing ourselves anew to him. Lord, drive out everything that is not of you from your temple, from my body, from my mind, from my heart, from your church. Lord God Almighty, I pray for everyone tonight as we take your blood and your body, do that which only you can do for your glory. In the name of Jesus. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 23, so let's get everything ready, everybody. My studio audience and those watching from home, all you just need, that cup and that bread. All right, for I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered. So can you take the bread, everybody? Can you take the bread in your hands, everybody? Just waiting for everybody as we're doing it in my makeshift studio here. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Let's take the bread together. And when he had given thanks, Father, we thank you tonight for your word that will not return to you the same, but will heal and deliver us tonight. The word will drive out everything that is not of you in your church, in our physical bodies, for your glory. We thank you for that which only you can do and you're doing right now, in Jesus' name. He broke it and he said, take it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As you eat now, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 25 says, in the same manner, he also took the cup. Please take the cup. Something is happening as we remember. There's so much power in remembrance. Things we forget, when we remember them, we get the blessings of whatever we forgot. Tonight, I pray that the precious blood of Jesus will purify, will sanctify the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of sanctification, the blood of covering, will cover every sin, purge our consciences, forgive us everything and every wrong thing going on. And I pray by the shedding of the blood, the Bible says, there's remission of sins. And by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. As you drink tonight, I decree healing and deliverance. Give thanks right now and let's drink. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you. We put off the old man. We put off every old habit. And we receive and present ourselves to you as a new vessel. As new vessels, pour your new wine. Pour a new spirit, a new attitude, new life, new instructions. We let go of the old so that we can receive the new. Lord God Almighty, thank you for the new wine, the new spirit you're pouring into us. We receive wisdom, we receive understanding, we receive the knowledge of you. And we say, thank you for creating that awareness again. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for us. So we receive wisdom as we ask and receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. God bless you. Tonight, it's been wonderful. In the simplicity of the word you heard tonight, we believe God has begun a new thing in your life. You can join us tomorrow. If you can, if you're in the UK, we have, if you look at the comment section on this Facebook Live, there's a number you can call. It's a conference call. We have been having these prayer meetings every single Friday since the lockdown. It's an hour, 7:30 to 8:30. You can join us tomorrow. If you look at the comment section, you will see the details, the numbers you can dial, and the access code. Just join us. We are praying and praying. Remember, our bodies is that temple, is the house of prayer. We must pray. Jesus said, we always ought to pray so that we don't faint, so that we don't give up. So we'll be praying tomorrow. But then our next live broadcast on Facebook Live, on this same Facebook page, is this coming Sunday. Sunday, and that Sunday we will be starting a new series, right? New wine in new wineskins. And we would love to hear from you. A number will come up on the screen again, and an email address. Right, the number is 07877-622-07. 07877-622-07. And the email address is info@loveassembly.co.uk. It will be great to keep hearing your stories and your testimonies. And sometime in this month, we will be having people come on, especially maybe on the Thursdays, and they will be sharing also their experiences of what they are learning through this pandemic. Remember, God is about to give you new wine. You have to bring him a new vessel. And remember what Jesus did in the temple. He's done it again tonight. And I pray prayers, healing, the blind, the lame, they will work. And everything will begin to work for you. God bless you. Good night. And keep seeking, keep searching, keep praising, and keep receiving good new wine in the name of Jesus. So, as the deer pants for the water brooks, the psalmist says, so my soul pants for you. That was a song we sang at the beginning, but we will be ending with a song that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure, holy, tried, true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. God bless you. Good night. See you tomorrow, 7:30, if you're praying with us. I'll join you. Join us again live, 11 a.m. on Sunday. Amen. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Amen.